you got Superman shirt? Fantastic. Wow, you got it going on there. Not as cool as mine. Hey, many years ago, I was taking a youth ministry team across to Thailand. And it was an amazing opportunity. And we'd literally raised thousands of dollars, miraculous involvement. We had this incredible team. We all had T-shirts. We were going into some massive schools in the northern part of Thailand. One school was so big, it had 6,000 students in the school and has its own railway station in the middle of the school grounds. Like, that's how big this place was. The very night, on the afternoon that I was due to catch a plane, I'm catching a plane that night, I'm riding home on my motorbike, and I came around a corner and a lady was pulling out of a shopping center, didn't bother to look at me, and so she hit me on my motorbike and took me out. Now, she panicked, and instead of braking, she accelerated, then proceeded to drive over me and the motorbike. And this is hours before I had to get onto a plane. And I remember in that moment, just my mind just racing through all of the things like imminent death, dying a slow, painful death, you know. But then it got to, what about the trip? You know, like, I've got to take a youth team in like a couple of hours, and the ambulance is turning up, people are turning up, there's sirens, there's panic. She is like freaking out in her car. She's having a big panic attack and everything like that. And I got up to my feet, and I'm looking down, and I had some broken bones in my foot. I had cracked ribs. I'd ruined my shoulder. And I realized something. I was still standing. And I had a voice. And it might have been, you remember the time when I, you know, one of my friends had set fire to my hand, and I preached that weekend, remember that? And just the other day, I decided to try to be Superman. My flying was good, my landing less so, and then I wrecked this shoulder. And I'm still standing, church. I'm still standing. And I'll never forget on that day, I thought, I can't let the ambulance check me out or they'll take me to hospital. So I just called up and got a lift home, and I left the country. We had a pharmacist on the trip, and he said, Rick, if you could just make it to Thailand, it's Thailand. I can get you some drugs over there that will take care of all the pain. He wasn't kidding. And I remember I just left. I left my bike where it was. I left everything where it was. And my good friend Brett, you remember this, Brett? Brett had to fight the insurance company for me because I just left Jen to sort it all out. And Brett got me more. The bike was worth probably $500, and he got me like $20,000. No, he claimed everything. He claimed it was just so awesome. And but you know, I realized something, that I wasn't going to cancel it. I realized that I was still standing. And here was this girl who had just crashed into me. She's in the ambulance, but I'm on a plane. Maybe you've been like this at times. Broken bones, broken shoulder, but still standing. Yeah. Broken dreams, struggling to even pay your bills over the year, but still standing. Yeah. Hurt by friends, betrayed by leaders, still standing. Yeah, abandoned, rejected, alone, struggling with doubt and insecurity, but here you are, still standing. Yeah. Good on you. Yeah. Hey world, I'm still standing. Yeah. Hey devil, I want you to know you tried to take me out, but here I am, still standing. Hey God, don't forget me, because I'm still standing. I'm waiting for my breakthrough. And perhaps if you haven't picked it up yet, that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about still standing. Still standing. And in the Bible, we read these verses, and I could have put together so many different verses, but I just want to bounce these two verses off each other. The first one is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and it says these words. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Great verse. And then Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says these words, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there would be no more death, there will be no sorrow, there will be no crying, and no more pain. He says that. And the former things have passed away. But what happens between Jeremiah 29 and Revelation 21. Between the word from God that you sure you got and the fulfillment. Between the petition and the answer. Between the dreamed vision that you had and the manifestation of that dream. What happens between the prayer and the promise? this gap that we find ourselves in so many times. When you prayed and you believed for a miracle on Sunday, and Monday comes and nothing has changed. Do we just forget about it, move on, pretend like nothing has happened? Or do we get angry with God, or angry with the church, or with the people who've let us down perhaps along the way? Do we quit the fight? Do we lose our passion? Do we allow discouragement to rob us of the zeal that we once used to have? I need you to know something so important today if you haven't yet figured this out. There is always a gap. There is always a tension. There is always seed time and harvest. There is always this process in the middle that sorts out the believers from the triads. Those that say I'm gonna and those that do it. Those that have an opinion and those that actually step into the promise. Everybody's got an opinion. Isn't that true? Just get on social media and post something. But the reality is, what separates everybody, you know, those who make it from everybody else, is that there's some people who understand that there is a gap, and they fill that gap with something. And you can choose to do that today. And you need to realize that how you handle this gap, what you do in this place, in this season, sets you up for your breakthrough. Yeah. Wow. Faith is the gap. Yes. Faith is the gap. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says in the Passion Translation, "So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God had promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance." That something on the inside of them, they linked their faith with an endurance and said, "I am believing for this. I am going to go after this thing." Nobody's ever started a business, isn't it true, Rach? Started your business, it was so easy. You work one day a week. Piece of cake, how hard can it be? Who knows, when you start a business, the business tries to kill you. Just to test you, to make sure you're committed to the cause. Isn't that true? Statistically, we know that such a huge percentage of businesses fail in the first 18 months. That's how difficult it is. And when you make it through that, I celebrated with one of my friends in the house that we made it over 18 months. It was like, yes, you made it. You're still in business. He goes, now just to get paid. Just got to get paid. But we have this promise that we're going after, and there's this gap in the middle. And I don't know about you, but we share a lot about the promises of God. We share heaps about the goodness of God, about the blessing of God. And sometimes we can come away almost feeling that if you're doing something wrong, if you're not in that season of your life at the moment. And who knows, that some of us, we're not always in that happy, clappy, everything lovey, you know, dovey season. Who knows, sometimes it's hard. Who knows, some days are very difficult. Some days you look at it, you're just going, "Wow, Lord, what am I doing?" You know, some days you want to kill somebody. And then, you know, then there's Sunday. Have you ever thought maybe you're exactly where God wants you to be? Have you ever thought that maybe this is the pathway to the promise that God has for you? And I began to think about that, and it got me all connected with the word P. So I wrote this featuring the letter P today from Sesame Street. This present persecution, perhaps, has the potential to produce promotion, providing you the power to pursue the promised purpose of God's perfection in you as a person. Not a prison, more like a platform to propel people from predicament and perceived punishment to producing pertinacious power. Still standing. Bet you haven't heard that word pertinacious for a while. Maybe you've never used it. I want you to, this is your homework, use that this week. In a sentence, get a blank look. I was going to use paragonic, but, you know, they don't really like that word. They like paragon or paragonical, but paragonic, they kind of complain over what they know. Webster's Dictionary. Webster's just the guy. He needs to admit he's wrong and move on. So I want to talk today about this gap, about this period in our life when we're standing in faith. Because I've sat with a lot of people who struggle in their faith walk, because they believe that faith is almost mystical and magical, and that you don't have any doubts. Who's never had a doubt? Nobody. We've all had doubts. We've all had struggles. We've all had insecurities. But the difference is, we're still standing. Yes. And I'm here today, and I'm not sure whether it is great faith or plain stupidity or just stubbornness. But I am still standing. And so I want to share with you some of the things that God laid upon my heart that are keys to help you stay standing in that gap when you're believing for whatever it is that you're believing for, and we're all believing, and they start with S because S starts with, you know, sorry, all the S's are for standing and stay and still. See how I do that? It's very important that you appreciate that. It takes a lot of work. Thank you. Thank you for that clap, one person who loves the pastor. The rest of you, I'm very disappointed. So I'll give you the first one because it's important you know this. Submit. You should have seen it. You guys are way better than the 8:30 service. The 8:30 service were like shocked that I could even say that word at church. It was like a dull hush, like a Presbyterian congregation. You know, submit. So, submit. It's such a cool, sexy word. I've never seen it on a t-shirt yet. You know, walk around, hey, wow, submit. S for submit. You thought it was Superman. James chapter 4, verse 7 reads these words. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We always want the devil to run away. We want to be able to overcome situations and circumstances. But there's something that we need to do before we resist the devil. Because the challenge that we have is often we try to resist the devil, but we do it from a place of our own authority. And the truth of the fact is, I don't know whether you figured this out in the Word of God, but it tells us really clearly, we gave away our authority to the devil. So when we try to shove it up the devil and stick it up his face and go, here, devil, he just goes, what? You ain't got no authority because you gave it to me all the way back in the garden. So that's why the Bible says this, that you first submit to God. Because when you do that, you're literally under the cover and the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you're operating on their behalf. So that's kind of like if I'm down the street and I just yell at, hey, stop. People are going to look at me. They're not going to stop. They're going to, you know, wave to me, give me 1 point or 2 points that I need to think about. And then they just keep walking. But when a person has submitted themselves to the ruling authority and they're put on a blue uniform with a little badge on, then they don't operate in their own authority. They operate under the authority of another person. That's submission. And when you do that, there's a freedom in that. There is freedom in submission. Resisting the devil out of submission secures your covering in that moment. Submitting to God. There's also submitting to your call. Placing yourself under that. Even where you are right now. That so many times people try to bust out and go, well, they're holding me back. They're holding me back. I'm going to give you something. You need to know this. Nobody can hold you back. You don't even like that leader. They can't hold you back from God's purpose in your life. In all of my life, I never forget one time I was under a manager and they were holding me back and I wanted to take them out. And for $10,000, I could have. and it crossed my mind. And I'll never forget, I was really struggling and they were making my life miserable and they hated me so badly. And I just remember having this moment when I just thought, man, I can't submit to them because they're an idiot. And God goes, I never said in the Bible, submit to everybody except the idiot. It's like, but they're your boss and you've got to do it. And I remember the struggle that was going on in my life. But I took it to God and I submitted and they got sacked. Wow. And I remember just looking at it and going, man, I'm so glad I didn't just do what I wanted to do. But I chose a pathway of submission because I want to be found faithful even when it gets hard. I want to practice that submission in my life because either I'm going to trust you or I'm not. But in that gap, in that place that I am, in the space between the praying for that miracle and seeing the manifestation, I want to stay standing. And I know that how I do that, I secure myself by submitting to God. The next one is obvious. You got to stay. So many people, they hear something, they get something, they have a bit of pizza, they have a dream. They go, God's going to use me. Somebody prophesies, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be a mighty man of God and save everybody. Praise God, I can see so many people getting saved under your ministry. And you're only 12 years of age. So you start your evangelistic company. You know, the reality is it's so hard sometimes to just stay. Just stay. Incredible, because we see this in the Bible where Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to give you power. You're going to do magic tricks. You know, you can lay hands upon the sick and they're going to recover. Pray for blind eyes. Pop, they're going to pop open. It's going to be incredible. Pete, you've even done the walking on the water thing. You can have a t-shirt. I walked on the water. What have you done? You know, just... But he didn't. After that great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he got them together. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, he says these words. What he said, he commanded them to stay. He said, just wait for the promise of the Father. Well, when's that coming? They had no idea. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? I've already booked in my meeting next week. Come on, God, seriously. It was like, just stay till the promise comes. Stay in that job that you're struggling with. I've been believing for my unsaved, no good husband for 20 years. Stay.
Yeah, good.
Stay. Maybe he gets saved in the 21st year. Don't jump the boat. Don't try to produce your own pathway in that moment. What was the last thing that God told you to do? Are you doing it? Then be found faithful doing it. Don't try to manifest it in the next step. He knows. He's seen it. He's got it under control. He's got the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's pretty big God. He can take care of it. You're not in trouble. You know, the end of 2010, Jen and I went through an amazing season. We were pastoring down in Brisbane. And we really felt that there was a massive change of season coming in our lives. And this was incredible. I was like, Jen, I don't know what it is, but I really feel that God is just shifting some things. And you know, that this season has ended and the new season's about to begin. And you wouldn't believe it. At that exact point of time, I had so many offers come in. Pastor a church here, pastor a church there, go do this, go do that. Blah, blah, blah. And even with this church here, I had a phone call that I could take this church on as I wanted. And I felt this check in my spirit to stay where I was. No, not to make my own pathway, not to do it on my own. And I'm so glad, because I think about this, what would have happened if I'd stepped out on my own? Ready? I'd be on my own. That's what happened. Every time you step out on your own, guess where you are? You're on your own. And that ought to make you afraid. Because you were never good enough in the past on your own. You know, how does it work out so well for you so far? So I didn't leave. I was sent. We were sent. We were still covered. We were still together. We were still supported. We were still believed in. We were still growing. We were still being prayed for and being paid for. And here we are today, still standing, because we stay under the hand of God. That's a good word for somebody. Number three is surrender. Surrender. Surrender's not so cool either. Galatians 2:20 in the Voice says this, I've been crucified with the Anointed One. I'm no longer alive, but the Anointed One is living in me. And whatever life I have left in this failing body, I live by the faithfulness of God's Son, the one who loves me and gave his body on the cross for me. What I love about this place of surrender is that I constantly have to agree with God that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That I'm not the one, this is just not my life to go do whatever I want to do, be who I want to be, just kind of follow my own pathway. That I'm literally deferring myself to God. I'm choosing to surrender in that moment. And who knows, sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Job declared, In the Bible, in the book of Job, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he goes on, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. And his wife was very encouraging. She just said to him, Job, curse God and die. He knows he probably prayed, why did my wife live, Lord? But he didn't. He said, I will not curse God. I will trust him. Even if he kills me, I will trust him. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's stubborn, but I will continue to trust God. Jairus said, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And that struggle that he had in his faith, in that moment where he goes, I know the right answer, but I also know where I am, but I'm still standing. Help me. Help me in this moment. A little girl called Mary, said, how could I ever be pregnant? I'm a virgin. But he said, Lord, here I am. Do with me according to your will. She literally stepped in it, not understanding in that moment, but trusting in the journey. Sometimes what we got to realize is we fight so hard for all the wrong things. E. Stanley Jones said, if you don't surrender to Christ, you surrender to chaos. That choice that we have literally puts us on this path or that path. Deuteronomy says it another way. It says, God says, I put before you life or death, blessing or cursing. Now choose life. You could choose life or you could choose death. It's a question for you to answer for yourself. I'm going to help you with it. I'm going to give you the answer, just in case you were wondering which one. You probably should choose life. But what a lot of people don't realize is when they don't choose life, by default, they choose death. That there's no middle road here. There's no either or. The Bible really doesn't give us an option. It's really inconvenient. I know it's mean. It's cruel. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said he was the way. He didn't give us any wiggle room to kind of compromise this. He just said, you need to understand there's a power in surrender. Because surrender is different to what a lot of people think. It doesn't mean that you give in. That's not what surrender means. Surrender means that you give over. Wait, it means that you give up. Surrender, I'm not giving in, I'm giving up. Lift up your eyes. From where does your help come? Your help comes from the Lord. I'm lifting up, I'm looking up, I'm stepping up. I'm not giving into this thing, but I'm going, God, like Jesus in the garden. Lord, if there's any other way. But he says, no, God, not my will, but yours be done. I'm giving up to the purposes that you have. Okay, God, you win. I lift my hands. I give you my heart. I tried it my way. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. I surrender. Look at me. I don't know how I'm still standing, but here I am, still standing. Next step, when we want to know the pathway, one of the things we've got to understand is we've got to understand what we need to settle in our heart. Because there are a lot of questions in life, and some that are very difficult and, in fact, impossible to answer, because that's what faith is. Faith is not necessarily having it all figured out and believing anyway. None of my kids have understood the rules of gravity and friction and the law of lift or anything like that. When I tell them to jump, I'll catch you, they jump. Until you don't catch them, then they don't jump anymore. But they jump because why? They have faith in you, that you were going to do what you said you were going to do. Interestingly enough, I was watching today very carefully. I noticed all of you just sat down on that chair. You haven't met that chair. You don't know its life. You don't know what it's been through. Maybe today that chair wanted to give up. It's been here for a long time. But yet you parked your rear in that thing without a moment's hesitation because you believed that it would carry your weight, even if you did have an extra donut last week. But the fact is, so you didn't fully understand it. You didn't understand all the engineering and the factory and the routine inspections and ensuring that it was actually able to carry your weight. You just believed that it would. You had settled that issue. Isn't that true? It was, you didn't even think about it. You'd settled it. And how cool that we can do that, and yet in other things that we should have settled, we don't. Don't doubt in the darkness what was clear in the light. This verse says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is an amazing verse. I think you're going to share a bit on this. Is that right, Pastor Gray? Great. So I didn't want to get too excited for it because I'll preach something and he'll preach some heresy and you'll have a conflict. But that's not true. But the reality is this, that it was his action of just trusting God. Even though he didn't understand, he was an old man, but he just believed God. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That old school faith. Just going, well, okay, that's what God said. I'm just going to believe it. Well, I don't understand. He didn't say I had to understand. But we want to see the promise fulfilled in our life. We've got to realize that some things in our world have to be settled. I want to tell you something. My children will grow up following Jesus. Do you know why? Because we settled this as a family. We don't miss being part of the body of Christ. There's no question mark over their parents' faith walk. Yeah. It got settled a long time ago. As for me and my house, they will serve the Lord. Yeah. Or I will make them see Jesus earlier than they thought. People go, that's brainwashing. No, it's way more than that. You're brainwashing? Kidding? This is not coercion. This is deliberate, intentional. Will I do it God's way, or am I still trying to work out an alternative here? Am I on track with God's plan for generosity, or is there still a fight between what I think is mine and his or not his? Don't leave this. Listen, what you don't settle often is where the attack will come. Genesis chapter 3, did God really say? First thing the devil said to God in the garden after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, he will always attack something that needs to be settled in our life. So we need to take the time to pull out our Bibles, search it out, seek it out, and sort it out. Get some good counsel. Pray. Desire truth above comfort. Even if it's upsetting, desire the truth. The truth will always stand on its own. There are some things, I know this is going to come a shock to you because you look at me and I look very holy from a distance. There are some things in my life that I haven't yet sorted out, but they are settled. There's a difference. There are some things, like you, don't look so holy. Some of you like just sucking your lemon right now. There are some things that you know you ought to be doing, but you're not doing. And you know what I love? That's okay. As long as you know that it's settled, you ought to not be doing it. But you're going, I need to work on these things. It's settled. I know what God is saying. I'm not trying to compromise it. I'm not trying to water it down. I'm not trying to escape it. I'm calling it what it is. It's a settled issue. I know I got to get these things sorted out. I know I should not have that extra piece of chocolate cake, even though it calls me personally. You know, just, I gotta sort that thing out. Whatever that is, whatever that situation is, whatever that circumstance, maybe it's an anger issue, maybe it's an emotional issue, maybe it's something in your world and an excess in your world. Whatever it is, you go, okay, I gotta sort it out, but it's settled. Yes. Not sorted, but settled. Yeah. And that's okay. That's where we live. That's the gap. And here's a beautiful thing. He said that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Yeah. So you were never meant to make it on your own anyway. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
All you had to do was go back to the other point, was surrender. Right. And I'm not giving in to this thing. I'm giving up to his calling, to what he's got in my world. You got to know what you need to know. Be an exclamation mark more than a question mark. Often we try so hard to answer questions that just can't be answered and leave the ones that we need to settle once and for all. You know, this failure is not fatal and neither is it final. I may have fallen from God's grace, but God's grace, I can get back up again. You may have given up on me, but God still thinks I'm worth it. My best days are not behind me. I still have breath in my lungs, so I have purpose in my heart. I am still standing. I'm still standing. I've settled that. God, here I am, your work in progress. Let's go. I'm still standing. Finally today, as the band comes, I couldn't do this justice without covering the point, stand. Stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says these words, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Amen. Having done all to stand, having done all these things that we've sought out, we've stayed, we've settled these issues, we've surrendered, we've come into the presence of God, we've got our head around what God has said, we've stirred ourselves up, we've done everything that we can. Having done all to stand, the Bible then just has this challenge go out through the scripture. Stand. When you've done all to stand, stand. But Pastor Rick, I don't know. What else can I do here? Can I do this? Can I? No. Just stand. How long for? Till you see the breakthrough. How long is that going to be? I have no idea.
Yeah, great.
I would like you to say, you know, the end of today. I would like to be able to do a magic prayer, get some oil, squeeze it over your head, and there you go. You know, untie my bow tie, who stole my hat and stuff, and just you be right. But the reality is, you know, life is not like that. You don't understand, Pastor Rick. I've been standing in this relationship for years. I know. Just keep standing. Have you taken it to God? Yes. But I'm still believing. The devil got into my marriage. It's on the rocks. I don't know whether we're going to make it. Can I encourage you today? Stay standing.
Yeah, come on.
Just keep going. I'm still standing. Pastor Rick, you don't understand. My marriage ended. In fact, as I wrote this, I was reminded of some friends of mine. Their marriage not only ended, I did his wedding. It was a few weddings down the track. He'd been married 3 times, I think, and she's been married 4 times. Statistically, they won't even make it past the honeymoon. But they're still standing. They're still standing today. And you thought the failure was final, but they're still standing. Gone up again. Fell down, gone up again. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. You just get really good at push-ups. No, I'm just, what are you doing? I'm working out. Still standing. You stepped out in business and it failed. And you're looking at having to start all over again. Still standing. I'm still believing. You're believing for a miracle report and the doctor came back and gave you the worst news. Stay standing. Just stay standing. You fought for so long, taking so many hits. Nothing left to give, you feel. Take courage from the founder of the Foursquare Church, which you probably didn't know. Her name is Amy Semple McPherson. From a part of a poem, she wrote these words, and I love it. It says, "Strong is the foe that advances. Snapped is my blade, O Lord. See their proud banners and lances, but spare me the stub of a sword. Still stand." I'm still standing. Would you stand with me this morning? And as you do, I want you to stand with me today. You know what I'm saying? I want you to stand. As you get up, I want you to stand. I want you to whisper quietly under your breath, "Still standing." I want you to say it loud enough that your ears can hear it. "I'm still standing. Man, I've been through some stuff, Lord. People got no idea, but here I am today, and I'm still standing." Hey, devil, I want you to hear something. It may only be a quiet whisper today, but I'm still standing. Hey, God, I want to remind you of your promises. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Here I am today, and I'm still standing. Hey, circumstance that's trying to overwhelm me. Hey, finances, I want you to understand something. I'm still standing. Hey, sickness in my body, you've tried to take me out. You think you're writing my death warrant, but here I am today. I'm still standing. Hey, relationships that are broken down and it almost made me feel worthless, but I realized something, that I'm so worth so much that God would give his only son for me, that he loves me, that he has a future for me, that my best days are ahead of me, and that relationship might have ended, but I'm about to enter into a better and a new relationship. So here I am today, still standing, that thou which the devil used to try to take me out has only set me up for my next breakthrough. And I am here today, still standing. Though people have spoken against me, they might have written things against me, they may have even written me off, but I want to tell you today, I am still standing. Though my finances may not declare it, though my friends may not recognize it, though my own family may not see it, I want to tell you today, I am still standing. I am still standing. I am still standing. In the name of Jesus, come before your presence. We bring it all, God, and we give it up to you. I will not bow my knee to the circumstances of this world. I will not conform to the status quo. I will not choose to surrender to how I feel, no matter how overwhelming it will be. I will crawl to my feet and stand with my eyes lifted high. I am still standing now. I am still standing. I speak it into your spirit. Still standing. Still standing. Look at you today. Look at what you've gone through. You're still standing. Look at the obstacles you've had overcome. Man, the devil wrote you off so long ago, but here you are today, still standing. People didn't think you'd make it this far, but look at you. You're still standing. You're still standing. You ought to remind yourself of that fact when it gets hard. I'm still standing. I know I'm not there yet, but I'm not a quitter. I'm still standing. Jesus. I don't know where everybody's at in their walk today with God. We talked about this earlier on, about this moment of surrender, to give, not to give in, but to give up. To acknowledge God as your Lord and your Savior, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. With all my heart, I believe He's the one who created us. We're not a chance of evolution. We're not a mistake. We are way too intricately made for that. Not only did He make us, but He gave us a purpose and a plan for our lives, which is wonderful. And not relegated to a time or a place or circumstances or chance. But that He literally designed us with something incredible in mind. And then He said, I want to partner with you in achieving that. Because a lot of people think accepting Jesus is just about getting a ticket into heaven. For most of us, we believe and hope that heaven is a long time later. But what about Monday? What does Monday look like without Jesus? I want to encourage you. How about this? What does Monday look like with Jesus? That you go, I'm gonna choose Him. I'm gonna choose Him to be involved in my world. You know what? I'm gonna. If you're the one who designed me, I'm gonna surrender to you right now. I'm gonna ask you to come into my heart and in my life, Lord Jesus. Because I don't want to continue to live my life alone on my own. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And so maybe for the very first time that you'll make a decision for Jesus Christ today, or maybe you're coming back to Him because you've been away from God. I don't know, but everybody else, we'll close our eyes and we're just going to spend a little bit of time with God and we're praying together. But if that's you today, I want you to do something really brave and very easy. I would love you to lift your hand. I'll see it and you can put it down again. If you today want to make that choice to give your life to Jesus Christ, right where you are, for the first time, for the second, third, fifth, 100th time, you're in that place. God has been speaking into your heart today and you're going, yeah, I need to do this for me. I'm choosing to surrender. Right now, as I look across this place, I'd love you to see if you can do that. I don't want to miss this opportunity. God is speaking to you here. As I look across from the left to the right, all the way. God bless you, darling. I see that hand. That is so good. Such a good decision. God bless you. See that. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else, I don't want to miss this opportunity if God is speaking to you. Hallelujah. God bless you, darling. I see that hand. Awesome. Let's pray together. Hey, Father, we thank you. We saw the hands that go up today, but more than that, we saw the hearts open up to a place of surrender to ask you in. And so we receive you, Jesus, into our hearts, into our lives, into our future, into our decisions, that you would be with us and walk with us and help us to walk with you. And I thank you that you would come into our very world and just overtake everything that has separated us from you and draw us closer to your purposes and to your will, as we receive you in your precious and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, why don't we give the Lord a praise offering? So cool. A couple of quick things.